Item eight, Borough Manager's Report.
Other than the written report, if anybody has any questions on that, but last weekend, we had, our swimming pool has had its problems over the last few years. Couple of years ago, we had actually a crack in the pool, and we were losing close to 10,000 gallons every 8 hours. And so we drained the pool, fixed that, and then after that was done, we were losing about 3,000 gallons a day from some other source, and they've narrowed that down, they thought, to, they replaced this last weekend a bunch of valves, and it's gone from 3,000 gallons a day water loss to about 500 gallons a day. So it did make some difference. There's still some little something going on, but it certainly, we're making progress, and it's things that needed to be done, and a lot of these valves weren't closing right, and they were just, water would just keep moving through them, but certainly that improves a lot of things, you know, just the water you have to heat, the chemicals to keep everything up, the water treatment plant, you know, the whole deal. So we are making progress there, and that was certainly some good news. Evergreen, sent an email to, I've been kind of in correspondence with both Senator Stedman's office and our lobbyist to keep kind of on DOT about the Evergreen project to make sure it happens next year. And so Keith Karpstein, who is the one in charge of the Evergreen project for DOT, sent me a lengthy email. And basically it says they're still on schedule to bid this on January 18th or 17th, and that by the time they bid it and get a contractor under contract, it'd be in May that construction would start. That's according to their plan. They're still, I think, resolving a few things. They discovered that some of their retaining walls, they had retaining walls, and then those would go back into the road and be anchored. And some of those conflicted with water and sewer mains, and also there was some conflict with power poles. So they've redesigned that a little bit, doing a different method, and so they think they've got the answer for that. They're resolving that. That will, should take care of that, but I think they're getting pretty close to being done. The only other thing is they have, I think, the majority of their right-of-way issues resolved with people out there. I think there's still a couple that they have to still deal with that hopefully they can resolve and in the near future, and so they can get that done. Once they get the right-of-way people resolved, then they've got to make sure that they get the STIP money transferred from last year to this year, so they have the funding to both pay any land takes they have to do and then move along with the construction. But it appears that we're on schedule there, and hopefully it will happen. But I think the, like I said, Senator Stedman's office and Ray, our lobbyist, are going to be checking in with them every couple weeks just to make sure everything is on track, and we're going to be doing the same. So hopefully they won't... And they've been telling us this is 2017 is their region priority, so hopefully that all happens. The other thing is we just, the engineering company that did the pilot study for the water plant, there was to qualify the pilot study for USDA to be able to apply in their preliminary process, we had to have them do some additional work, a preliminary engineering report, and they've just completed that. We're reviewing that, and USDA is reviewing it at the same time, so that if we see anything there that needs to be fixed or checked or done over or whatever, we can get that done, because they are trying to streamline this for us. Usually it can take up to 6 months to do this application, pre-application process, and because there are just so many different things they have to have, so we're trying to get that process going as quick as we can, and they're helping us, so hopefully that will all work out, but that's on track. So unless someone has some other questions, that's about it.
Thank you.
You bet.
item nine, the report.
Okay, so I have a couple things. Just to remind the assembly and the public that the next regular assembly meeting of November 22nd was postponed to the 29th. So, and of course, I'll send out reminders. Also, Mayor Jack and Assemblymember Rooney will be traveling to AML next week, and I will be leaving for my clerk's conference on Saturday. And then I did talk to you a little bit in between the public hearing about Draven Golding doing the youth voting, and I just wanted to again say that this is a he chose to do this for his senior project. I think it's a great idea, great opportunity for him. He registered 65 middle school and high school students, and while I was there, there were some elementary school kids that really wanted to vote, and they did it too. So I was working closely with him along with Sarah Merritt and directing him, and I think it's just a sure way to introduce these students to the election process and realize that they're not only part of the community, but they have the voice in this community and the nation. Tomorrow, Draven, myself, Timon Teat, and Max Voltz will come to City Hall and we'll count the votes, and we will be posting them. I'm going to post them on our website. I'm going to send them up to the school so they can post them. I've had a lot of people asking me, including the media, if we would do that. So other than that, I don't have anything else.
Any questions? Thank you.
Okay.
Item 10, Mayor Assembly Reports and Appointments. Does any assembly member have any report? I'd just like to make one announcement. It's nothing basically for the assembly, but it is a community matter. That I was contacted by the principal of the high school, middle school, about and all, he asked me to invite all veterans to a program they're having at the school in the Commons. It's 10:30 on Friday. And I thought it would be very good if it's announced out there. And anybody, if you know a veteran or a veteran, you're invited. And next we have appointments to fill annual vacancies and other various boards and committees vacancies. If the word is weird. We have, there's two vacancies under Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Yes.
And we have two letters of interest.
Correct.
One is by Brenda Schwartz-Jaeger, and the other is Nancy Del Carro. And barring objection by any assembly member, I'll go ahead and appoint them to those positions. And it seems we have still vacancies, one vacancy on the Planning and Zoning Commission until October 2019. One on the Planning and Zoning Commission until October 2017, a vacancy on the Parks and Recreation Board till October 2019, and there's two vacancies on the Convention and Visitors Bureau Board until October 2019. Two vacancies on the Economic Development Committee until October 2019, and one on that Economic Development Committee until October 2017. And I encourage anybody that might be listening, if you have an interest in any of these boards or commissions, to please send in a letter of interest. Next item is appointment to fill a vacancy on the SEPA board. That's one voting seat and one alternate seat. And we have received two letters of interest for those seats. The voting member we received from Steve Brzunka, and the alternate member from Clay Hammer. Normally, the resolutions that basically, that the SEPA board appointment from Reed Rangel each year, if a candidate is available for the Borough Assembly, they would be appointed prior to any candidates being considered. If nobody in the Assembly has an interest, then the
I think continuity would be beneficial to us.
Okay, can I have a motion on that?
I'll move that we appoint Steve Przunka to that voting position on the SEPA board in lieu of an Assembly member.
I'll second it.
Okay, and then Clay
Aaron? I make a motion we put Clay in as the alternate member.
We have to have one at a time, one motion at a time. Are you making an amendment to add that?
Yes, I would like to make amendment to add them both together.
Okay. I'll second it.
Okay.
Now moved and seconded. Any discussion? I agree with you. The continuity is a good thing. And in my opinion, Steve Przunka has been doing a great job over there.
Yes. They're both good selections.
Okay, so this will be on the amendment to add Clay Hammer as the alternate, and then we'll make the...
Then we'll vote on the main.
Right. Yep. So Assembly Members Gilbert?
Yes.
Przunka? Excuse me. I'm just gonna go home. Okay. Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Okay, now anybody have any discussion on the main motion? Poll, please.
Assembly Members Mitchell?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 11, persons to be heard. This is the opportunity for any member of the audience to speak on an item that is on the agenda. When the agenda item comes up, you will not have an opportunity to speak on it unless an assembly member has specific questions regarding the item. We have first Kelly Martinson on the marijuana tax. If you come forward, state your name and address for the record, please.
Kelsey Martinson, 225 South Front Street, Rangel. I just think any kind of additional costs will make it harder for me to compete with illegal operations. So if you guys are worried about the kids, I think they're finding themselves with the taxes and added costs that kind of drives the price up, and then they can undersell illegally. So, and then, kind of, if you're talking about an excise tax, just make sure that I can still compete statewide. Yeah, that's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you. Mr. McConaughey.
Don McConaughey, 622, Walby Highway. I just take notice on here, I wasn't planning on speaking, but I noticed on here we're considering reducing members on committees. And I have a really hard feeling that I don't think any committee that is appointed by the governing body should be of a larger size than the governing body, or even as a equal size of the governing body. I feel that governing body should be the largest body within the city and borough, and everything else should be subordinate to that. So I would really encourage you to drop and maybe even look at all your ordinances and decide as to, you know, like the planning and zoning, we've been running one person short for nigh on to 2 years now, and it's just I know it's nice to have a larger size board where you can have a quorum, you know, of a smaller group, but sometimes if you are just running short all the time, it's not really worth it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Item 12, unfinished business. Item 12A, proposed ordinance number 927, an ordinance of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the minor offense fine schedule in Chapter 1.20, General Penalty of the Wrangell Municipal Code. This is a second reading.
Move
to adopt ordinance number 927.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Roll vote, please.
Assembly members Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13A, proposed resolution number 11-16-1353. A resolution of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, in support of full funding for the State of Alaska Harbor Facility Grant Program in the fiscal year 2018 state capital budget.
I move to adopt resolution number 11-16-1353, which supports funding for the State of Alaska Matching Grant Fund, Matching Grant Program for Harbors.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Roll vote, please.
Assembly members Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13B, request for modification to a contract zone agreement, amending the site plan and expanding the proposed light industrial use storage facility from a one building facility to a two building facility on Lot C, Torkelson-Glasner subdivision, zone single family residential with a contract zone of light industrial, requested by Mr. and Mrs. Donald Glasner.
Move to approve a modification to a contract zone agreement, amending the site plan and expansion of two buildings used as indoor storage units with the following conditions. Number one, site obstructing vegetative barrier of at least 25 feet maintained pursuant to Wrangell Municipal Code 20.52.200 in the current contract zone. Item number two, lighting at facility should be angled downward and guarded from side so as not to disturb adjacent residents in current contract zone. Item number three, operating hours should be restricted from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. in current contract zone. Item number four, the driveway entrance to the storage unit shall be widened and moved over 10 feet to avoid all conflict with the adjacent residential driveway. New item.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Yeah.
I was talking to Carol Rushmore today. The only thing is on item number four, I believe he's already done that. So he's already.
He did a 15 feet, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he resolved that right away. And I think all the other stuff was already in the existing contract zone.
Yeah. That's what the letter said, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Any further discussion? Roll vote, please.
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13C, reluctantly acceptance of the resignation from Assembly members Steve Pazunka.
Move to approve and accept the resignation from Steve Pazunka, Assembly member on the Borough Assembly.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
I do. I have a problem with Steve resigning because his daughter's working at the swimming pool. I think, and we're going to look at this in a later point, I know, but we do this as a volunteer. We're not getting paid. We're not employees of the borough. And he could easily step down from any decisions to regarding his daughter's employment. We don't make those decisions. This is the city manager's job to control the employees, or the department heads to control these employees. I have a great deal of respect for Steve's opinions and view, and his heart's in the best place, although we don't always agree. But he's still a valued member of this borough, and I would hate to see him go for this council.
I'd have to say I agree with that. I know we are going to look at this. I don't know if we can just say no, not accept his resignation because of our charter, but I really don't want to accept it. That's just my opinion. I mean, I will because of what it says. I don't, that's just my input.
Maybe that's a question we should ask.
Well, I think we can fix it. I think I have an idea because this has come up in past city councils. We've had this crop up, and I always had a problem with that particular ordinance, and I think I have a way out of it. So well, I think...
Let's discuss that under the item number.
You know what we could do, and somebody could amend that motion and table it. That would be the proper thing to do.
So if somebody puts in a resignation and the assembly does not accept it, it's still a resignation.
Right.
This is just a rubber stamp. Okay. So whether you accept it or not, it's still accepted. It's still, so.
Basically, we have to.
Well, what I'm thinking is if we table it, we haven't taken formal action. And perhaps we, well, of course, repairing an ordinance would take at least two readings and three meetings.
I don't think that would have any effect on it now. He's already turned in his letter of resignation, and I don't think you could go back and change that at a later date.
Yeah.
We either have to...
Okay, so my what I'm thinking on this, if you table something, you should take it up in the same meeting. You're basically setting it on the table, and then you're going to take it up in the same meeting. There's nothing that the assembly can do when that item comes up to change that outcome. And I think if you were to postpone his resignation, then he would still be kind of in limbo. And then if you were to change the ordinance to be less restrictive, say, then it wouldn't look right. Because it's almost like you would be holding something back so that you can fix the ordinance for that person. So I think, you know, this is cleaner. This is the cleanest way to do it.
Good.
But he could submit a letter of interest if we advertise for this position for you to appoint, Mr. Mayor. Is that correct?
As far as I'm aware, there's nothing to prohibit him from doing that. It would not, it would have a kind of a shady look to it in a way, but.
And it would be the assembly who would. It would be a vote of the assembly.
Yeah, it would take a vote of the assembly.
And it would be for a 1-year term, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is what his term is now. I mean, his term is up in 2017,
right.
As it is.
Any further discussion on this item? Roll call, please.
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13D, approval of the USDA resolution OMB number 0572-0121.
Move to approve USDA loan resolution OMB number 0572-0121 for the purpose of finalizing the closeout on both the grant and the loan from the USDA on the sewer pump station project.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Poll, please.
Assembly members Mitchell?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Excuse me. Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13E, approval of the bid received for the Wrangell Courtroom Carpet Replacement Project.
Move to approve the bid to award Rainbow Builders, Inc. for the construction of the Wrangell Courthouse Carpet Replacement Project in the amount of $21,495, funded from the FY17 capital budget for public safety building.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion?
Can I just ask a question? How many square feet is that? Just seems like a lot.
I was curious of the price per yard.
Yeah, it's a bigger area than you'd think.
Oh, yeah.
It really is a pretty good sized area, and the cost is to, you know, take it all up and do all that, prep it.
Yeah, I read that part.
And actually, when you look at the other bidders.
Yeah, I was surprised at $45,000. I mean,
21, and then there's a couple at 25, 26, and one at 33, and then one at 48.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we had budgeted 25 because we had thought it was going to be within that range, and luckily it is, so. But I don't know.
Just curious.
Yeah, I don't know.
It doesn't say.
It doesn't say in the bid specs.
It's probably in the bid packet.
Okay.
It's, these are just their bids. It's not the actual packet.
Yeah, it didn't say in there. That's why I was surprised.
And we are still kind of in negotiations with the courtroom bid, and we actually, this was in our contract that we're supposed to replace the carpet every so many years, and we haven't replaced it in like 20.
So and, we can buy it for another 20?
Well, we get more money if we replace it, so anyway, but.
Any further discussion?
Assembly members, Gilbert?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13F, discussion and possible action on excise tax on marijuana.
Move to discuss and possibly act on business regulations and excise tax on marijuana sales.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion?
Well, in our packet, we've got some documents from Houston, Alaska, Ketchikan, Alaska, and Valdez on their excise tax or added sales tax, and it's all over the place. The state of Alaska has an excise tax on the ounce, you know, $50 per ounce for the bud of the plant, and then $15 per ounce for the rest of the plant. And Houston has a $10 per ounce, except instead of sales tax, and a $2 per ounce for the rest of the plant. Ketchikan has a 5% excise tax on addition to the 4% sales tax. And Valdez, I can't quite believe this, but I think I read it correctly, 50% of the market value, and however they determine that. And I did look up online, and Valdez is presently, the price per ounce is $420. So I think that goes to what our speaker mentioned. So I don't know what to do. I feel that we should have some sort of excise tax on this, and I feel that we should have some business regulations in our code. The excise tax would go into Title V, and the business regulations would go into Title VI. And I understand we have Alaska business regulations, but I was asked by a member of the community, for instance, what are the business hours? Have you established business hours? And I talked with the man who's planning on starting a business, and he indicated that the business hours would probably be 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. One person was concerned that it may have the same business hours as a bar, for instance, or 24 hours, you know. So I think we should have some good discussion about this topic and get the regs into our charter, into our.
Well, I'm looking at it as all the taxes we're paying for everything else. Let's keep this on par. So we're paying a 10% fish tax. I have no problems with 10%. Marijuana tax, and I don't think you should ask any one business to pay more than the other business. And so, yeah, I'm fine with a borough 10% tax, which would roughly come out to about $40 an ounce.
Now, would they not be also paying sales tax?
Yes.
Yeah, they paid sales tax on top of that.
Retail.
You If we sell our fish, we pay retail as well. That's my opinion. What do the rest of you think?
Well, in the lower 48, it's all over the place. It's 15%, 25%, and this is municipal excise tax. All the way up to, I think I read somewhere, 35%.
For municipal? So,
for municipal tax, and plus then they had state tax. And I don't think we could even begin to calculate any revenue the city may see as a result of this, but the nice thing about taxing per ounce is that the seller has to file electronically every month to the state the amount of ounces that have been sold and actually cultivated and manufactured and everything to the third decimal point.
Yeah.
And so you would have a good concept of how much is being produced. But well, sales tax is probably the cleanest.
And the other thing you deal with is that this product isn't all the same price. From what I understand, you have different prices for different qualities, different grades. So that's why I'm saying the 10% is because you're running the whole gauntlet. So you got your mediocre stuff down here from about 350 to your high grade stuff at about 500. That's what I've researched and what the locals actually tell me they're paying, which I was kind of flabbergasted at that, but still.
What were they saying they were paying?
350 to 500 an
ounce. Oh, wow. An ounce, okay.
Of course, this is illegal black market.
Yeah. Hopefully we can stay close to that so that black market doesn't continue to flourish. That's, I think, what Kelsey was talking to. And I really think we should have an excise tax so that we get a tax when it goes from cultivation to production, or not production.
Retail.
Distribution.
Yeah. But I do like the idea of market value. I just think that when you do that, then you are looking at, you're getting equal cut across the board instead of just a flat rate.
But and if this
it might be harder to calculate, you're right.
If this legalization drops the price, you're not stinging them. The tax will drop as well. So
correct. And then the other question is, if any paraphernalia is being sold, is that taxable with an excise tax, or do we, because that paraphernalia may be sold in other locales, so I think just the product
sales
itself
tax on that. Yeah.
Yeah, and just recoup the sales tax on the paraphernalia, but the I think we need to begin the process to write an ordinance. The definitions have been established by the state, and it's just the idea of what value we should consider. I don't think there's going to be, at first I thought there would be maybe law enforcement issues. I don't think it would impact our local residents. I think it would be mostly visitors that may not realize that they can't consume in public. But I think we should work on this.
I do believe that we can start the process of this reviewing this tax, but I don't want to stop where we're at now and stop any store from opening up. We can implement this at a point down the road when we get through this process. So this process, if we go to public hearings, if we go put a board up and we hash all this out of what we want to charge and stuff, this could take 2 or 3, 4 months, 6 months, I don't know. But still, if we have people who want to go into business and their paperwork's ready, he spent a lot of time getting there to this point.
Yeah.
Make it 5 months.
Whatever. No, 4.5.
So, and then on, come here,
go ahead.
Okay, on business regulations, I think we should have in our charter hours of operation. And I don't know if there's, the other thing was, and I'll have to look through the state charters again, but I, for instance, I don't know if a minor accompanied by a parent or guardian would be allowed in the premises, or they would not, okay.
You got to show ID to go through.
All right. So that was another question. So can we, with a motion, direct our city manager to start fleshing out an ordinance?
I think it would be better directed toward the city clerk.
Or city clerk?
I have a question, though. When you say the charter, you mean the code? The Rangel
Yeah,
Municipal
title,
code?
Yeah.
Okay,
title,
because
yeah.
If it's a charter, it has to go to the vote of the people.
That's
okay,
true,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, just I being clear.
But Title V and Title VI.
Do you have enough direction to get started?
I do. I think what we should do is maybe I can start getting things together, and then maybe we need to have the code review committee kick back up and start looking at this. And if that's the case, we're going to need to appoint somebody else to the code review committee from the assembly, because it used to be Assemblymember Blake, and he's not on there anymore.
I'll volunteer.
Great. If that's okay for everybody else.
Works for me.
No, I won't do
it. You can be on it too.
You're a glutton for punishment. It's yours.
Okay. But I do. I feel as I do, and I don't need a motion for that.
All right.
So.
So where are we at on this vote?
Well, are we done with this?
Well, there was a motion and a second,
yes,
however, but it was
yes.
to discuss it, and you already
did.
So there's really nothing to vote on, so I believe it would just die.
Okay.
As long as you have enough direction.
I
so
do
we're
going to
look at this tax and everything later on?
Many times.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, then we'll go on to the next item on the agenda, item 13G, discussion and possible action on changing Rangel Municipal Code 3.04.114, nepotism.
Recommend that the assembly have a discussion on this possible action.
I'll second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion?
Lots.
About this discussion? Yeah.
I'll just start out here. Was it a couple of years ago that we, 2013,
mm-hmm.
that we actually addressed this? I think there's a copy of that ordinance in there. I think the one thing, and I certainly, there's been, as Patty and Mark both talked about, there's been situations where you've got a theater, some kid that wants to work mm-hmm. at the theater or a swimming pool or something. I just think you've got to be kind of careful, because nepotism rules are in almost every governmental organization you see, because at some point in time there's been some abuse of hiring practices by somebody. But I also feel that those positions that are kind of classified as kids or young adult things that aren't permanent positions. And I don't know how you go between the two, but I think you just got to be careful when you're talking about all positions, how that impacts the city and hiring. Certainly, a manager is ultimately responsible for hiring and firing. But if, as an example, there's some member of the assembly that has a relative that doesn't get hired, and maybe they thought they were the best candidate, they're certainly, even if it's, and I've never had anybody come and tell me you should hire that person, but there's kind of an unsaid pressure that if you don't hire that person, then you're basically, one of your bosses can influence whether you're going to continue to work or not. So I think it just needs to be careful in that context, But I do agree that the kids hiring those permanent or temporary positions, minimum wage jobs that some kid wants just some work experience, and I think it's sometimes unfair. And again, everybody up here is volunteering. It's and then when you're volunteering, and then you're
penalized
because someone in your family can't get a, you know, just a temporary work job that pays minimum wage, and it's not benefited, it's not a your lifetime position, it is penalized. And so I'll stop there.
I guess my sticking point is that we are not employees. We don't get any benefits, we don't get any insurance, we don't get any wages, other than sending us to a meeting once in a while. That is we are not taking anything for this job. So I have a hard time, this law that's on the books, I agree, if you're employees, that's a whole different story. But we're not employees, and we don't manage anybody in the borough, in any agency, but you.
And I hire and fire.
But we've got two or three heads between you and the employee.
Ultimately, the manager is responsible for all hiring and firing. So.
And if we, and like you said, has anybody ever come to you and said, hire my son?
I can say no, but I can also say the reason it's in there because someone did it one time. So,
okay.
And I get it. I mean, I get it. But I also, I think everybody here is honorable and would never do that. And but 10 years from now, you might have less honorable people here and there. And who knows? I mean, you hope that's not the case, but.
Well, you could have.
And even the other thing, even if they don't come in and say something,
you know,
there's pressure there to say, you know, even if you don't come in and someone is, you know, wanting to be hired and say it's close, you know, there's some unspoken pressure there.
I get you paid the big bucks.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're an assembly manager form of government, and as an individual assembly member, we have absolutely no power, not even the mayor, sorry. But we only have power as a body. So in that respect, I would hope a city manager would feel protected, because the whole body should rise up against any kind of undue pressure. But my idea was to allow the hire of a salaried temporary employee, and to not prohibit that. Not a salaried employee, not a department head, but if we could do a part-time or temporary hourly employee. Yes.
Well, get back to my other point. Okay, what if someone had the, say David had a son that applied for something. So it's real close. What if I hire him? So public perception is, well, he got the job because his.
That's true.
Yeah.
So that's the other part of that.
Yeah.
So even if he was the best qualified person, and if you had a bunch of other people apply, their perception is going to be that he got hired because mm-hmm. his someone was sitting on the assembly that was related to him. So,
David.
But getting back to the other thing, I think you don't want to go. I wouldn't want to go where, if it's basically a permanent, benefited position. I think at least that, stick that to the nepotism rule like it is, within the second degree. If it's an unbenefited, temporary position, where it's not a someone's livelihood and that kind of thing, mm-hmm. you know, maybe you can do something to make an exception for that. But
the only problem I have with that is, okay, well, we'll just put it out there, Molly.
Sure.
10 years from now, she got this job, right? And what you're saying is perception. 10 years from now she's gonna get that. You know, she's worked her way up, like a lot of people have.
Sure.
And now is in the top position. So perception is otherwise.
Yeah.
On the other hand, you just said it, it's kind of shady, but it's crazy to me that she can work there and then, or say my son can work for the city and be the Parks and Rec director, and I can run for assembly and be an assembly now.
Yeah. Well, the difference is there, they got the job
Yes.
Before, without that influence.
Exactly.
So they got it.
You got Molly up, they got the job, and you say it's kind of shady. Now he could put in and say, okay, I mean, to me, it's, you're stepping on.
It's a tricky thing.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, it really is.
Yes.
Well, and I think we have a unique situation where we have a very highly regarded member that's leaving. So we're kind of giving this special treatment in a way. 3 years ago, we felt we really needed it because we had a different special situation where nepotism was kind of a problem. So I think we need to really think hard and long about changing this because we know what can happen.
Right.
And really, your borough manager is the one that's being protected.
Yes.
And I think we need to think about that, especially we're looking for a new borough manager.
Yeah. And,
they're going to want to be protected.
This is the thing, too. There's nothing to say that now it's all done and over and done, that he could put his letter thing in there and we can approve it or not approve it.
Yes.
So, I mean, to me, that's a way around this whole situation without changing anything.
Yeah.
I know it's kind of, like you're saying, it's kind of shady to me. But in a way, I mean, this is a, I agree with Ms. Gilbert that this is, I mean, this is crazy to me. You got someone who's working for 20 hours and you're going to take an assembly member away. But I agree with you too, that we're going to be looking for a new city manager and we're not going to protect him. I mean, that's going to be tough.
Well, I can see that we're in the process of hiring a new manager. And say we hire a new manager and he becomes friends with one of the borough assembly members and they get into a close relationship and then pretty soon his son is hired. You know, I can see where this could go south.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Real easy. And even though that friendship may not be spoken and something might not be spoken, you want to help your friend and your friend's son and family. And so, yeah, it's probably something that in looking at this, I would say, let's not change it. Let's go the route. If we want to do that, go the route of.
Well, you know, I've got a couple ideas on this too, is that we have a lot of kids out here in this community that can't find a job because, or have to leave town to get a job. And we're not going to be on this assembly all the time. That could be a good
hopefully
thing, bad time. Bad thing, but you know, and I don't have any kids that's going to be looking for a job. So it's really, but there could be younger people than me that have family and their kid can't get a job because they have to leave town because they can't get hired. That I have that as a problem. It just, you know, I think it's a form of discrimination. And of course there's a lot of discrimination in things for very good reasons. But I think there should be some way to get around this, to work around it. I mean, to change the ordinance where, when situations like this come up, that it can be, you know, dealt with, it may be by a vote of the assembly entirely.
I mean, I've looked at this and tried to figure out a way to clean it up and make it more straightforward, and I can't, other than the hourly thing, but then I can see how that would backfire on us too.
Well, there's another form of discrimination in my opinion. Where is the cutting line? Is it they're making $10 an hour or $11 an hour?
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
Well, good gravy, we've got second and third degree relationships here, you know.
The problem is.
We better not do a DNA.
And we can't hire because, you know, we've got a city manager that does that and department heads, so.
And if you lived here very long, you're related to half the people.
I know.
So that kind of cuts out the work for it. And there's a lot of good people out there that can't go to work because of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've had a crop up more than once, haven't we? Yeah.
And I know, of course, the new manager probably won't have this problem, but certainly living here all my life, I have enough trouble, even though I'm not related to people I have to hire, mm-hmm. but just knowing everybody in mm-hmm. town, and you got friends and stuff, and you try to be as objective as possible, and we usually do it with some kind of a committee, and ultimately I'm the final decision maker, but I certainly like to get other points of view when I do that to make sure that, especially probably most of the time in department heads, but even other employees too, that just to make sure my, any, you know, prejudices or whatever I may have that are, you know, not hurting some employee that...
Yeah, just like you and me are related to your marriage.
Kinda, yeah.
Yeah. My wife's sister is married to your wife's brother.
Yeah.
Oh. Uh-huh. So when you live here long enough, you're gonna get married. You're gonna get.
Well, I'm into the Bunis family, so that's a lot.
There you go. So am I. So.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that we should leave it alone.
Yeah, I do too. Good to have the discussion.
I think that we should have something in there though, for situations such as this. And it happened before, not very long ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, and as it happened, the kid didn't get the job. But, you know, so there was a member of the assembly that got off for no good reason.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, Dave brings up a good point that you have such a hard time getting people to volunteer for boards and different things, and then certainly their priority is their family, and then to someone that finally does step forward and wants to do a good job for the community, and then they have to step down because of, you know, obviously they want the best for their kids and stuff, and it is kind of bad for that situation, but it's a slippery subject.
You've got the problem, for instance, my son sits on planning and zoning, so isn't that the same thing? So you got family members sitting on different...
There's no monetary benefit.
It doesn't matter. If you're considering us an employee and you go to one of the other boards, you're still, family members are still working for the borough.
We don't consider you an employee.
No.
I know, but you're saying none of my family can work for the borough because I'm part of the borough.
But they can't work for the borough, not because you're an employee, just because you're a elected assembly member.
But you see the point I'm trying to make. Mm-hmm. So you got different family members sitting on different boards. And that, I mean, we can go through there and there's all kinds of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's where you declare.
And if you rule that out, you ain't going to have anybody on any boards.
But I think the main thing is when you're the influence above to a paid position where someone is going to make money.
Yeah.
That's the key to the whole thing.
What if it was changed to the person still had the same procedure now, but then remove the prohibition or the applied prohibition in some manner for that person to submit a letter of interest back and then take his chances with everybody else, and then it takes a vote of the assembly to him.
So the assembly member would step down, kind of like Steve did,
yeah.
And then he would compete with anybody else that on the appointment of that.
Well, basically that's what we're doing now.
Well, yes, but to make it clear that what it would be, you know.
That he'd have that option to do that.
That he has that option, yeah.
Except that really dilutes the whole message. The case in point is that the legislature, they stand up and they declare a conflict of interest. And they all vote whether that person should participate or not. I have never, ever once seen them vote it down. They make the person vote. So declaring that conflict of interest is really kind of empty because they make them vote on the issue anyway. And that's kind of what we're doing in a way, is that we're saying that here's the rules, except when we don't want them to be the rules. Mm-hmm. And I think that we need to be clear when, you know, That's just my opinion of.
Well, that's what I'm saying is to change it to where it's clarified exactly what that rule is. You understand what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying, but I think it just says we have a set of rules, except when we vote that those rules are, we're not going to follow those rules, is what.
And I know that if I ask, and I agree that, I mean, because I thought about that too, you know, what if there's a provision that says, just like the provision when you are an employee, an assembly member, and then you want to be an employee, that the assembly can vote, vote to waive that 6 month.
Wait, period.
Right, period. But when we think about, because I sent the question to the attorney, and I said, and I didn't say who, I just said, okay, this is a situation, and, you know, and I explained exactly, and he said, you know, basically that we'd be circumventing the policy. So I know that if I ask him, can we put something in there that says this, he's going to say, then what's the point? So I think that if the assembly wants to change it, it should be changed. If you want to try to have something to, you know, in each situation, it's a tough one, because I do agree that if you have the assembly vote to say, this person should be able to stay on here, then, I mean, that's the vote of the body, the assembly, especially if you say if it's a unanimous vote or a two-thirds vote, which is a more restrictive vote. But I don't think the attorney would be on board with it. But like I've said before, the assembly can direct me to ask him and see if he can come up with something if that's what the assembly wants.
The way I look at it is we already got a way to do this anyways. And what happens if... Say Joe tells the manager, you know what, hey, you know what, I want my son hired, okay? Hopefully the manager will come back and say, well, you know, this is what was said to me at an assembly meeting and tell us, and then we're going to, as an assembly, hopefully everybody will have an honor to say, well, that's not right, okay? And now that's over with, and he's gone, and that's done. Now in this situation, we already have the way he can put a letter in, and four other guys put a letter in. And if we decide that he's the best out of those letters, then he comes back to his seat. So why would we change anything if we already got a way to put it in there anyways? I mean, what happens if the next person isn't honorable and does want his son or his wife hired and it's not right? And then he puts a letter back in after his wife gets hired and he resigns, and we're going, well, that ain't an honorable person. I don't want him back on the assembly. Well, then he's not back on the assembly. We already got a way to put Steve back there if we want to. So, I mean, if we got a way to put him back there if we want to, it's there. If we don't want to, we don't. It says right on there, hold on to the top.
Yeah, I would just like to see if there was some way we could clarify it and do that, you know.
But I don't think you want to do that, because, yeah. Dave, that's... If you clarify it, you are circumventing what we already have.
Pardon? It's the same thing.
But it's not, because we're not telling us that we can actually do it. We're still going to say, put your letters in, okay? I'm not comfortable with circumventing what we have. I'm really not. I just think.
But it is in a way. It still is.
Well, you're still going to have
just a loophole is what it is. That's all it is, a loophole.
Yeah.
You're still going to have the perception that we bent the rules, no matter what we do. So
hey, look. Do you tell Steve not to put a letter in because we're going to have perception of it?
We bend the rules all the time anyway.
You know, I
you can't stop it.
Like you said, I'm not getting paid for this, and if they don't like it, they can vote me out.
That's right.
No, I don't see a clean way to do it. I think we leave it the way it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that the consensus, pretty much?
I don't see any way to really get around this.
It's a mess.
It is.
There's
no good answer to this.
No, there isn't.
No.
Okay. Then we'll go on to the next item. Item 13H, approval to reduce the number of members on the Economic Development Committee from 7 to 5.
Move to approve the reduction of members on the Economic Development Committee from 7 to 5 and to provide for a transition provision to be updated in the community bylaws.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion?
I sit on this community, or the committee, and we have not had a full committee in the whole time I've been there. So this is something that we're having a problem with every single one of them getting enough. It's just, yeah. And the last meeting, we only get together 2 or 3 times a year, and we get together and we can't come up with a quorum, and it gets kicked back for another month or two. So this has really begun like a problem for us.
Yeah.
And guys, I don't know any other way about it. If you can't get people to come out and volunteer, we're going to have to reduce it to a quorum, to where at least 3 of us can have a quorum or whatever it is, and still hold a meeting.
I agree
with you. Any further discussion? Poll, please.
Assembly members Gilbert?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 14, attorney's file is provided to the assembly. And the last item 15, executive session. Options regarding the corrective statutory warranty deed for Lot A dated May 25th, 2012, according to plat 2010-6 between the city and Alaska Island Community Services, AICS.
I move pursuant to AS 44.62.310(c)(1) that recess into executive session to discuss matters that immediate knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect upon the finances of boroughs, specifically the city's options regarding the corrective stationary warranty deed of Lot A dated May 25, 2012, according to plat 2010-6 between the city and Alaska Island Community Service, AICS.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Forward, please.
Assembly members Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes.
Don't we have to ask the city manager join us?
Oh.
Yes. We'd like to have the city manager join us on this. We'll recess into executive session at 8:10 p.m.